Good morning and welcome to Step Into the Light. We're your hosts. I'm Patty Sheen.
And I'm Jeanelle Fury. Thank you for listening.
Together, we will introduce you to people who have found their way out of the dark shadows of life and back to light.
And those who, through various ministries and creative endeavors, lead others on their journey from darkness to light.
Hello, everyone. Today's guest is professional writer, content producer, author, volcano blogger, and aficionado, Carol Cuppy. She was recently published in an anthology titled Fearless Footsteps, a book of true stories that captures the spirit of adventure. Carol's tale is one of danger and suspense called Fearless Footsteps on Mount St. Helens. She is a member of Pikes Peak Writers, and the American Christian Fiction Writers Colorado Springs chapter. Three of her favorite things are tea, her kitties, Gypsy and Nyla, and hiking. Carol, welcome to the show. We're so happy to have you.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
And we're going to start right off here, Carol, with some questions about your writing. When did you know you wanted to be a writer, and how did you come to write professionally?
I knew I wanted to become a writer when I was 5 years old. Authors Bill Martin Jr. and John Archibald, who wrote books like Chicka Chicka Boom Boom and Knots on a Counting Rope, they came to a local school and they talked to us kids about their books and how they wrote them. And to me, that was magic. I've written for years, and in 2017, I started a blog called Volcano Hopper. And I write about my travels to volcanoes and educate readers about volcanology. And this helped open a door last year to a career change from graphic designer to a full-time writer at a Christian organization. I wake up every morning and I still can't believe I get to do this for a living. It's such a tremendous blessing.
Carol, I'm glad you shared that with us. We have had guests on the show who run the whole gamut from, yeah, I started writing when I was able to put a crayon to the wall, to when I was a kid, the last thing on my mind was writing. So it's interesting to hear where different people are on the spectrum. And it sounds like you were just kind of born with that love of writing. So thank you so much for sharing that with us. I bet you were the type that when they assigned an essay in school, you were like, yes!
It really was. What I really didn't like was the word limits. You know, write a one-page paper and I wanted to write a 5-page paper, you know.
and most other kids were like, oh, my goodness, how am I going to get 250 words on a piece of paper? Carol, how and when did you discover your love for volcanoes? I know I've mentioned to a couple of people that we were going to be interviewed a person who chases volcanoes, and they're like, oh, heck no, absolutely not. So tell us, when did you discover that you had this love for volcanoes, that you were drawn to this kind of adventure?
Well, while I love to learn, school was often incredibly boring for me because I was always itching to learn the next great thing. And I remember being in my third grade science class, tipping back in my chair and counting the minutes until recess, and I was flipping through the science book ahead of what the teacher was teaching that day. And I was curious to see what else we might be learning that year. And I stopped dead in my tracks. On the page was this beautiful photograph of Kilauea's 1990 eruption in Hawaii. And the photograph was taken during the blue hour, where the light paints the landscape this beautiful blue color, and the lava just glows pinks and reds and yellows and just incredible colors when this happens. And I was riveted by this picture. And it was the first time I think I had ever seen a volcano like that. And I dove right in and I wanted to learn everything I possibly could about Kilauea and every other volcano on the planet. And to this day, Kilauea is still my favorite volcano, and I'm still in love with researching them and finding out everything I can about them.
Have you been to Kilauea then?
I have several times.
Oh,
and how many volcanoes have you visited, Carol?
Oh, I've got to think about that one for a minute. Maybe 10?
Okay. But I was just curious when you talked about your love for them. I know you've traveled some distance to visit some. So, yeah, 10 in your pocket. Wow, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
It might be more than that because on the island of Hawaii has 5 volcanoes. And I've only climbed on two of them, you know, but I've seen the others. So it could be
sure.
higher or lower than that number. I'm not sure. 10 to 12.
How neat.
Yeah.
Yeah. So without giving away too much, would you offer us a short summary of your fearless footstep story?
Of course. In 2019, my husband, brother, sister-in-law, and I took a trip up to Washington to climb Mount St. Helens. We'd gotten our permits months in advance and had one shot at climbing it because permits are so limited. Climbing an active volcano can be intimidating enough, but it turns out that the volcano was the least of my worries that day. Inexplicably, the day before our hike, I had a grand mal seizure in the middle of a hiking store. I'd never had a seizure before, and I haven't had one since. No one has ever been able to determine what caused it that day, and it was one of the most terrifying experiences I've ever had. It left my body completely wrecked before the hike. I was so fatigued and dizzy and exhausted, I didn't know how I would ever be able to climb Mount St. Helens. However, despite all the odds, we decided to show up at the trailhead the day we had our permits, and the story in Fearless Footsteps is about our climb to the summit and the odds that we had to overcome to get there.
Wow, that is absolutely amazing, Carol, that you would even have the physical stamina the next day to get out of the bed, let alone get to that trailhead and do that climb. Oh my goodness, I cannot imagine.
Yeah, I think it was complete willpower because the next morning getting out of bed was the hardest thing ever. You know, but we all felt like we needed to show up and that if we did, there would be a blessing from it. And so we decided, hey, even if we just set foot on the, you know, on the first rock at, you know, at the trailhead,
mm-hmm.
we got there. We did it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, just to say you got the.
I had spent the day before, after the seizure, in the hospital. They did all sorts of tests to make sure that I was okay, to see what had caused it, and they let me go. And so we had come up with a plan, you know, if I started feeling kind of not right, you know, that I'd sit down and we'd we would stop. But fortunately, despite how exhausted I felt really well the next day during that hike. When I had the seizure, I was unconscious for 5 or 6 minutes, and I don't remember anything that happened. And when I woke up, there were EMTs around me. They had called an ambulance. You know, and I was taken to the hospital after that. So it was such an unusual thing because I'd never had one before. They definitely wanted to make sure that things were okay.
Well, I got a chance to read your story, Fearless Footprints on Mount St. Helens. And there are multiple exciting parts to this story. So would you, when you felt the least confident that you'd be able to actually make the hike, and then when you felt most confident that you'd complete the hike. So once you get to the trailhead, did you still have reservations? Tell us how you were feeling throughout that day, throughout that experience.
Well, I think the moment that I felt least confidence that we'd be able to make the hike was the day before when I was sitting in the emergency room. I actually have quite a bit of amnesia surrounding the events of the seizure and a few days before and after that. But there's one thing I remember so clearly, and it was sitting in the emergency room and listening to the doctor tell me that we shouldn't do that hike. And my heart just sank. I mean, this beautiful adventure that we had trained so hard for so long, we were so excited to do, had just been wrecked by something that no one could explain how it happened or why it happened. And I felt like we had lost the summit the day before. So this was about 24 hours before our hike. And thankfully, my partners in crime weren't as easily deterred. And we made a plan to be as safe as possible and just show up at the trailhead. And we would go as far as we felt like going, even if it was just taking 5 steps up the trail. We took a few more steps, and we took a few more steps that morning, and we made it through the forest. We decided to proceed through the boulder field, and I remember standing on the ash field, which is the top third of the volcano, and looking up and seeing the line of the summit against the perfect blue sky. And I knew at that point there was no way we weren't going to make it to that summit. And so I felt very confident at that point we would get there. Now, I had some doubts about making it back down in the dark, but we did. And I think getting into the car and getting back to the trailhead, there was just such relief that we made this. We did this. The things we experienced on the hike were once in a lifetime.
It wasn't until you actually returned to the car that you felt confident that you'd probably make that whole trip.
Yes. That last 100 feet when we signed back out on the logbook, I was like, hey, we made it. I think we can do this. Yes.
Oh, my goodness, so Carol. That just sounds so exciting. I went on a trip on horseback in the San Juan Mountains for 11 days way back in the 1970s. So I have the slightest, you know, not anything like climbing a volcano, but I do have some little bit of idea of what you experience when you're up there. And it is, it's beyond description. You can't tell somebody who's never done it what it's really like. It's
absolutely 100% true.
This is why I could not imagine doing the volcano thing. Went up to Yellowstone National Park with my grandma in 1 year. My grandma was one of these people that was 60 going on 30, you know, the type. And she was all into taking pictures in those fences they had around the thermal areas. Mm-hmm. She's like climbing over the fence to get these pictures. And I was terrified the whole time. I cannot imagine climbing something like that and having that risk all the time.
There's always a risk, and it's always a little bit different on each volcano. Mount St. Helens, the trail that we climbed, is called the Monitor Ridge Trail, so it's very well frequented, and it's a marked trail to go up the volcano. But You never know if the volcano might have an earthquake, which might dislodge some of these rocks, or if it might have a little bit of an explosion at its summit. You know, you could have a steam explosion or a minor eruption. While we know a lot about them, they're still very, very unpredictable. So you always have to keep your eyes open and be very aware. Some other volcanoes like Kilauea, the lava is very different and it's a very different type of volcano. So you have to be aware that you're not walking over ground that's hollow underneath that you could fall through, and there's likely not any active lava underneath, but you could still be injured if you fall into a lava tube. So there's things that you can do and learn to stay safe on the volcano, as safe as possible. And I always endeavor to do that because I want to have a good time while I'm exploring the volcano, and I want me and my hiking partners to get off that volcano alive and uninjured and have great memories instead of memories of a hospital. So we always endeavor to do that.
And I don't expect that these trails and these hikes are anything that it's ever recommended that you do alone. Is that correct?
I always recommend having at least one hiking partner. And even if you're not hiking a volcano, I think it's smart to have at least one hiking partner, or at least have someone know where you are and when you're expected back, and then check in with that person if you did go out alone. Because you never know. You could twist an ankle. Anything could happen, you know, and you don't want to be stranded out there without help, because most of these volcanoes do not have cell phone reception. And what are you going to do then? So I think it's more fun to hike with a buddy, too, because then you can share these memories and experiences with them, too. So,
that's great advice. Absolutely. So how did this experience impact your outlook on life in general? I mean, I can't imagine you experiencing this and coming back the same person.
No, I absolutely didn't. I think it made me more stubborn and determined than I already am, if you can imagine that. But some of the best things in life are so difficult to achieve. And it taught me that if you persevere, despite all the odds, the reward can just be absolutely breathtaking. And life is so short. You never know when or if a certain opportunity is going to come around again. So you have to reach for it, even if it scares you. And I'm not saying to be unsafe in that, but there are instances where you've just got to be brave and you've just got to show up. And God will do the rest. And I think God honors us taking those steps and persevering. And he will meet you there in those things. And this experience on Mount St. Helens was definitely one of those moments that I needed to be brave and show up and let God do the rest.
Wow.
Carol, I think maybe the Carol and Jean both, I think maybe this is a good time for us to go to a little break here.
Okay.
And at break time, I just kind of like to let listeners, remind listeners that you are listening to Step Into the Light with your hosts, Jean Alfieri and Patty Sheen. Our guest today is Carol Cuppy, and Carol is an amazing lady in that she is not only a professional writer and content producer, but she is also a volcano aficionado. She knows volcanoes, I guess you might say, literally inside and out. She's been talking about her exploration of volcanoes and about her trip to Mount St. Helens, where she climbed up Mount St. Helens and wrote a story about that called Fearless Footsteps on Mount St. Helens, which appeared in an anthology entitled Fearless Footsteps. She's really shared quite a bit with us already this morning. Carol can be found at carolcuppy.com, and she also has a blog called volcanohopper.com. She has some social media outlets, but I'm going to refer you to my website, which is pattysheen.com. That's spelled P-A-T-T-I-S-H-E-N-E. There you can listen to this show again or refer it to friends or family if you think they would be interested in it. We'd love to have you do that. You go to pattysheen.com and you look for the Blog Talk Radio tab at the very top of the page, and there you will find links to all of the shows that we have recorded to date. Under each show is a more information tab, and that's where I will place Carol's links for her website and her social media. We're delighted to have Carol here with us this morning, and she shared a lot, and we have more for her to share with us. So, Carol, we talked about how this experience impacted your life, but this is a very uncertain time for you. And it was your confidence and your faith in God that allowed you to persevere. And as you know, the premise of this show is for us to talk about periods when we have experienced darkness and find our way back to light. Most of our guests have some story to share of a period when there were just shadows in their life and things weren't going so well, and how they found their way back to light. Are you able to share another difficult time in your life with us this morning?
Absolutely. When I was 23, I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease. And Crohn's is an autoimmune disease that impacts the body's gastrointestinal system and can be extremely painful. Doctors struggled for years to find some treatment that would help me. And I lost so much weight that I could count my ribs. And for a while, I was too weak to even work. So after a serious reaction to one of the biologic medications, I had to even go on disability for a while. This led into a year and a half period of time where I had 7 surgeries to try to stop the damage from the Crohn's, and one of them nearly cost me my life when I began to bleed out in the middle of the night. I was so depressed, and I was so anxious during this time. I constantly felt like a burden to my husband and my family, and I felt worthless as a human being. I was in constant pain, and I wanted it all to stop, and I tried to end my life by suicide twice. And one night, I remember lying on the bathroom floor, and I was at absolute rock bottom. I had tried everything, and I couldn't find a reprieve. I wasn't a believer in God or Jesus at that point, but I had nowhere else to turn. And so I cried out to him for help. If you are real, if you are God, show me that you're here. Show me that you're real. Show me that you love me. And he met me there on that cold floor, wrapping his arms around me and giving me comfort I didn't know existed. And I gave my heart to Christ a few days later at a church service that I had stopped by on a whim. And I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that God saved my life during that time, and that he's given me so much grace to make it through even more surgeries and challenges that life has thrown my way. It hasn't been an easy road, but he's been with me every single step. There's no doubt that he's real and that he's love and that he genuinely cares about me and each of us. It's just sad that some of us, like me, have to reach rock bottom before we learn to reach for him.
Wow, Carol, that is powerful.
Yeah, and thank you for sharing that, Carol. I'm teary. I know this story because you and I go back a ways, but it always pains me to know that you were in that place. And so I will ask you, because this is a very real issue in our world, what would you offer to others who may at this time be feeling hopeless or depressed?
This year has been incredibly difficult in so many ways and for so many people. And I would encourage anyone who's feeling hopeless or depressed to look to Jesus. And I don't say that flippantly or as an easy answer, because it's that easy and it's that hard. Honestly, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is hope and he is love and he cares for you. And when your world is washing away around you like sand, he's the solid rock that you can stand on. So I would offer to go seek him. Find a Bible, whether in a bookstore or on one of the free apps on your phone, and start reading it. Pray. There's no right way to do it. Just talk. God's listening. And if you listen too, he will answer you back. And if you can, get to a Bible study or to church or listen to some sermons online. Be around other people who believe in Christ. That fellowship can be so uplifting and encouraging when you are going through those tough times in life. And set yourself a goal. It doesn't have to be a big one, but do one small thing every day to achieve it that will help get you out of bed and give you something to strive for. Get outside and get some fresh air every day, even if you have to bundle up in the cold winter weather like it is now. And get a little bit of exercise. It does wonders for your heart and your soul. But those things can help to get you through those hopeless and depressed times.
I love that. And do you do that for yourself, Carol, now? Are you a goal setter? Do you get outside? What is it that you find has been helpful for you to keep motivated and to keep hopeful?
All of the things that I mentioned, I make time every day to spend time with God, just like he's my best friend. You have to prioritize that relationship. So I'll talk to him throughout the day. I'll spend time in the Word, and that can be so encouraging to start my day. I do get outside and get some fresh air every day. And that exercise, that's one of the reasons I love to hike, is it clears your mind and it makes you feel refreshed. So a little bit of all those things, and setting goals every day, you know, and doing that one thing a day and having those good friends to kind of push me and be like, hey, have you done your one thing today? That encouragement
Sure.
is priceless.
Yes. Absolutely. It's funny you should mention the getting outside, because Patty and I were talking about that earlier and how absolutely refreshing it was this morning at the whole whopping 6 degrees that we have outside here.
Yes, it was a very short trip outside this morning for me, because I think it was 1 degree here and I was like, okay, that's enough fresh air.
I was telling Jean that my neighbor across the street is a mechanic. And my vehicle is needing an oil change. So I drove it over there and then walked back. And it wasn't that long of a walk, but still I couldn't resist stopping and taking some photos of that snow that hasn't been touched, you know. I love to take pictures of the untouched snow. Yeah, it was a little chilly.
And you know, and I love, even though I'm not a snow person, I do love being outside anyway. And I find that, depending on your prayer style, right, because we can pray in many different ways, and I love praying on hikes and on walks, and whether the dogs are with me or not, I do find that closeness of heart when I'm outside. And so for me, that really resonated with me, because that's what I prefer as well. And I always enjoy where God meets you, right, when you invite him in at the beginning of the day. I love where he shows up. Because it's usually where you're thinking of him least, and there he is. And so I think those are great points, Carol, that I've found to be true in my life as well, and I hope others take advantage of them.
Carol, I would like to explore with you a little bit further, if you're comfortable sharing this. I got the impression that maybe you did not grow up in much of a Christian home, and at what point in your life did you even start to become aware of, hey, there is a God, and maybe I should develop a relationship with him?
Well, I did grow up in a Christian home. Both of my parents are Christians and made sure we were in church every Sunday. But I am very much into sciences and very logical and wanted to pursue volcanology as a career for a while. And I had a very hard time reconciling my faith or my parents' faith with what I was reading in science textbooks or observing in the world around me. And I got to a point where I didn't believe in God. I kind of believed there was a creator because I didn't think all of this amazing creation could just happen by chance. It was just too intricate. It was too perfect just to be random. So I kind of believed there was probably a God, but I didn't think that he cared at all about us at all. And so I kind of cast him to the wind and went and did my own thing. Didn't believe. And only when I was diagnosed with Crohn's did I start thinking back on the things I'd been taught in church, on, you know, Jesus loves you, things like that. And that instance, having Crohn's and having that trial in my life, was what turned me back to what I'd been raised to know. And
okay.
I think there's a difference between knowing all of the things in the Bible and knowing about religion and actually having a relationship with Christ. And that relationship is what makes all of the difference. And that relationship is what counts.
I agree, and I think, Carol, there's a difference between head knowledge and heart knowledge.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to imply that you didn't grow up in a Christian home, but I will ask my guests, you know, and I've had guests say, oh, my family had absolutely nothing to do with God. I hardly even knew there was a God until I was 43 or whatever, you know. And so rounds out a person's story a lot of the times to know what that history is. So I hope you didn't mind me in asking you that, but I thought if you were willing to share that would kind of help round out what you have told us. And also, I'm curious to know, Carol, have you been pursuing the volcano chasing thing while you have this Crohn's disease? Because I had a friend who had Crohn's, and yeah, it's pretty horrible to deal with.
Actually, I started, I think, the same year that I was diagnosed with Crohn's. We had taken a trip down to northern Arizona and Grand Canyon area, and the area around Flagstaff is very volcanic. And those, I believe, were my first volcanoes that I ever got to hike. Sunset Crater was the very first one that we got to hike through the lava flows at the base. And that kind of lit that spark on fire. And one of the things with Crohn's disease is one of my best friends got me started running. And I was not a runner. I was not athletic at all when I was in high school, when I was growing up. And Crohn's kind of made it really impossible to do that. But she got me involved with the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation, who has an endurance training program that runs half marathons. And I went from being able to not walk to the end of my driveway to running a half marathon in a year. And so that physical fitness really lent to being able to go climb Mount St. Helens or go hike 40 miles over Kilauea's lava flows, you know, and be able to do these physical activities. So ironically, the Crohn's has been a really good motivator for being physically active and getting out there and exploring. And it's kind of made it possible in a ironic way.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness, Carol, you put me to shame. Here I am, proud of myself if I make my 7,000 steps on my Fitbit every day.
You know,
you and me both,
Patty.
You're talking about a 40-mile hike like it's a stroll down the street. I'm like, oh, man.
But you, and she knows this, but when I get on a volcano, the energy that I have, it's like an adrenaline rush for me. So I don't feel those miles, you know, mm-hmm. until you start getting a little bit sore and a little bit tired and hungry. Then you're like, all right, I'm feeling this a little bit. But yeah, anytime I put my boots on a volcano, it's that adrenaline rush and I can just go forever.
Sure.
Hey, Patty, I want to visit something that you said just a few minutes ago, and that is when you talk about heart knowledge, head knowledge, and heart knowledge, because it always impresses me. You know, it's easy to assume that as you go through life, your experiences will teach you and you'll learn from them, and yet how many people have I met, that don't seem to get smarter with age. I'll just put it gently, right? And yet, when you meet those young people who you wouldn't expect have had the life experiences to put them in the place that they are with the faith that they have, and Carol, I don't know that I'm so much a head knowledge person as you were growing up, but still, you know, I think as a youth, it was natural to feel like something had to be proved to you, right? You had to understand it in order for it to make sense. And as I got older, I understood that you can feel it in your heart and know it to be true, as well as or better than in your head. And so it always impresses me when I meet someone younger, I'll just put it that way, because I don't assume that they would have the spirituality, the knowledge, the faith, if you will, at a certain age, because they haven't experienced it, and yet they do. And so I find that always to be incredible. I love meeting people where they are with their story to learn just how they got there, because everybody seems to have a really an interesting story in how God has worked in their life.
I did want to just mention, too, that believing in God and Christ doesn't mean that you can't study the sciences and love the sciences. There are so many beautiful ways that scripture and creation ties into science and what people are studying. And they're making discoveries all the time that corroborate what's in the Bible. And I just think it's beautiful how those two actually tie together and how you can see God's hand and have evidence of that in a way through studying his creation.
Absolutely. I agree. I love when something else is proven to be true from the Bible, because some people just try and use it so easily as oh, this could never have happened. Well, let's take a look. Yes.
Right.
I couldn't agree more.
Exactly. Yeah, I agree with you there too. I always love to hear about the little tidbits of things that they learn and that corroborate those Bible stories.
Yes.
Right.
So, Carol, what can we expect from you, the author, Carol Cuppy, the author, coming next? What's on the horizon?
Well, I'm currently putting the finishing touches on my novel, Love Takes Guts, which is going to be releasing in May. And Love Takes Guts is a contemporary romance about a woman with Crohn's disease who's rebuilding her life after the loss of her career and her marriage. She feels unlovable because of her chronic illness, but a handsome lawyer is going to come to town who's going to challenge everything she's believed about herself and her illness and show her just how loved she really is.
That sounds fantastic. And I guess I can guess what inspired that, huh?
I guess you can. It was taken from some of my own experiences, but it was also taken from some of the stories that I heard and people that I met while I was running with the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation's Teen Challenge. And there are so many people. I had always felt alone in this for years before I met anyone else that had Crohn's or colitis. And I always felt alone and I always felt hopeless. But meeting these other people gave me hope and it made me realize I wasn't alone and I was loved and I was valued. And I wanted to take kind of a mashup of all those stories and that hope and those fears and put them together in a novel so that maybe somebody who's out there reading this, who has Crohn's or colitis or any other autoimmune or chronic illness, who's feeling the same way, might find hope and might realize that they are worthy and they are worthy of love.
I want to offer too, Carol, I think you have targeted your audience very well. I will offer that having been able to critique a few chapters, and I am not a fan of romance, it isn't my typical genre to read, it is very compelling. It's a great story. And so I just want to add that because I think you're just certainly speaking to a certain market, and yet if anyone out there listening likes romances, this is a great story. It's just a great story in general too.
Thank you. Romance was not something I ever thought I would write. It is not a genre that I grew up enjoying. And it was one of those things where God laid it on my heart and was like, I really want you to write this story. But to do it effectively, it has to be a romance. And I laughed so hard the first time I realized that was what he wanted me to do. I was like, I'm a science girl. I am a science fiction girl. I don't do romance. And God was like, you do now. And I have no regrets. The story, I think, is just inspired, if you will. And I think it's meant to touch people who need some of that hope. So I'm glad I've kind of gone out on the limb there and trusted and listened and started writing it.
I agree, and I'm glad too. I will offer that what I found very compelling about the book was a strong female character and all the challenges. She just has one challenge after another, and so you're just cheering for her. You know, you get to a place where it's like, oh, enough already, and it just keeps, you know, I hate to say piling on, but it's a wonderful character, everyone in the story, but she shows up as a very strong female, and the issues that you put in front of her are believable, at some points feel insurmountable. And I just loved following along. It's a page-turner, for sure.
Thank you.
It sounds like the kind of story that I would enjoy, Carol. And I also wanted to say, referring back to the fact that you said you would never write romance, it reminds me of a guest blogger that I have on my blog right now who says, you want to hear God laugh? Make plans.
Yes, I agree with that.
I don't know, Patty, if you've experienced this, but it seems I've been drawn to writing things I didn't expect either. And when I have now created a second guided journal for people to capture their stories in, someone said, oh, well, so you're a journal author. And I went, is there even such a thing? I had no idea there was a journal author. But okay, sure. That's what I can call myself. So yeah, it is interesting what you end up writing.
Oh, that is funny. Yeah, there's been a time or two when I've ended up writing something, especially if someone asks me to write something.
One of the lessons that I feel like I've been learning over the last year or so is just how we have certain expectations of how things should go, how our writing should go, how our lives should go, how our families should look, how our careers should look. And especially in writing, you know, you tend to make a plan and you want to stick to that plan. But I feel like God's been trying to teach me to live in expectancy instead of expectation, where I'm excited to see what twists and turns and adventures are coming down the road instead of clinging to the safe zone or clinging to the plan and not leaving room for those unexpected, wonderful things to happen, because sometimes the unexpected is the absolute best thing that could happen.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's very true. Yep. Yeah. Well, of course, how many people have referenced the year 2020? I mean, whoever, even science fiction writers, Carol.
Yeah.
Imagine in their wildest, you know, imaginings that we would experience what we have been experiencing over the past almost a year now. You know, we had all these plans. I had plans to go on an Alaskan cruise, which I don't know even going this year on that. My granddaughter was graduating high school. We had plans for that and just all kinds of stuff that just never materialized. And when you look back, it's just crazy. Just never know from day to day.
You're absolutely right, Patty. I mean, I look at the plans that we had. We were going to Italy to hike Mount Etna and visit some of the other volcanoes, Vesuvius, and those didn't work out. But I also look back and I see all the wonderful things that happened despite the challenges. And even though things didn't go as planned, some things went better than planned, or not being able to go turned out to be a blessing in disguise. So it's amazing how I love the phrase beauty from ashes. I think the Bible says that in Isaiah about how God will turn beauty from ashes. And it's amazing if you're still looking how you'll find those blessings and see the amazing things that happened.
Yeah,
even
definitely.
Despite the challenges.
Well, I know with this cruise, I mean, I just kind of heard about it. You know, the lady that mentioned it happens to work for a travel agency. And I jokingly said, oh, do you have any space left? And she said, I think we might. And I really didn't pursue it. But she said, you'd want a roommate. I really didn't think any more of it. Saw her a few weeks later. And she said something again about the cruise. And I said, you wouldn't know anybody that's looking for a roommate, would you? As a matter of fact, she said, I do. As it turned out, this lady and I have become really good friends. We haven't gone on the cruise together yet, but I mean, I would have probably never met her if it hadn't been for me calling her and saying, hey, I hear you want to go on this cruise. But the friendship is what's special.
It is. Exactly. And the little things. Yeah, and the little things. I mean, you know, who would have thought that we couldn't go out for a cup of coffee and meet friends? You know, it just, we took things for granted. I took things for granted that once we were able to get back, my husband and I, to our favorite place to have dinner, I like hugged the bartender.
You know, exactly.
These little things that you really do expect that are going to be available to you the next day. And when all of a sudden they're not available to you the next day, and then they're not available to you for months, it's such a loss. And so it's comforting to me now that I have a better appreciation, and I will never take for granted meeting friends out for coffee, because it just puts things in such a different perspective.
And the different church services that I've been able to listen in on with Zoom and this kind of thing, that, I mean, I listen to some of the church services from New York. Of course, I'm from there, but, you know.
And I do too. I listen to them from Chicago because I can, and I'm from Chicago. So it's just kind of fun that at this point, with all the technology that's available, we are able to connect like that.
Exactly. Well, ladies, we're about at the end of our time here. Carol, we both certainly want to extend our thanks to you for spending time with us today. You shared a lot, and oh my goodness, what an exciting life you live.
Well, thank you so much. And thank you so much for inviting me to be here with you today. I have loved our conversation and getting to know each of you better as well.
Well, it was a real pleasure. And I guess with that, I will go ahead and say goodbye to our listeners. And we're so glad that you spent time with us today. And God bless.
And have a great rest of the week.
Listeners, in closing, when you look back on the dark periods in your life, you may find they were not quite as dark as they seemed at the time. And when the light does shine again, it is so much brighter than you remembered. Please don't forget to go check out pattysheene.com. That's PattySheene.com. There you will find the Blog Talk Radio tab at the top of the page, a link to Carol's show, as well as all of the other shows that we have broadcast to date. And under the More Information tabs, you will find information about each guest individually.
Thank you for listening.
There is a fandom in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites the